Good morning. Hi, good to see you all. This term, we've been going through a series where we're focusing on that part of our vision statement which says becoming unmistakably like Jesus. We are to be a family of wholehearted people who are becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going on that journey of what does it look like? What does it mean for me to be becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus? And what we've been doing, if you've been paying attention, is we've been going through Jesus's farewell speech, his farewell conversation, as Chris put it last week, of with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And so Jesus has been preparing his disciples for what it's going to mean, what it's going to look like for him to go away. He's going to go to the cross, and that's going to be a moment of departure where his disciples will actually abandon him, but then he'll be raised again, but then he'll ascend to go and be with the Father. And so what Jesus is doing here in this conversation is Jesus is preparing his disciples for what this is going to be like. And the thing is, for us, this is our reality. Day in and day out, is the reality for us is that Jesus is not physically present with us. For his disciples, this is something that was going to happen in the future, but for us, it's what's happening for us right now, every day. And so these words that we read in these chapters from John 13 to John 17, in some ways, they're more relevant for us today than they were when his disciples first heard them, because that was still coming in the future. But for us, it's our reality. What does it mean for us to, as we're going to read today, remain in Jesus when Jesus is not physically present here with us? And so these words that we read about are really relevant, and they should be a source of encouragement for us as we look at what that think about what that means. So we're going to be looking at John 15 this morning. So I really encourage you, if you have your Bibles here, let's open up to John chapter 15. I will have it on the screen briefly while I read through the passage, but for most of the morning, it won't be on the screen. So it'll be good if you have a neighbor or a Bible yourself, then it'll be good to open up to John 15 and be reading along. Something else that we're doing this term is in our Connect groups, we're looking at some material by John Mark Comer. And one of the things that I love, one of the many things that I love about John Mark Comer, if you've seen this, this is a relevant little thing. Pull my shirt. Anyway, some of you get it. One of the things that I love about John Mark Comer is I love what he teaches about what it means to be a disciple. He says that to be a disciple is three things. To be a disciple is to be with Jesus. It's to become like Jesus, and it's to do what Jesus did. This is what it means to be a disciple, to do these three things. But the thing is, it's not just like a checklist of things like, oh, I've been with Jesus, tick, done, move on. Now I've become like Jesus, like that's possible. But tick, done, and then now I'm going to do what Jesus did. It's not like that. It's more like these are things that flow from one to the other to the other. It's not like we can do what Jesus did if we aren't becoming more like Jesus. And we can't become more like Jesus unless we're spending time with Jesus and being with Jesus. So one flows onto the other and flows onto the other. And as we're going to coming to our passage in John 15 this morning, there's going to be a word that comes up again and again and again and again. And that's the word remain. Jesus says, remain in me and I in you. And we think about, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? Is it being with Jesus? Is that remaining with Jesus? Is it becoming like Jesus? Is it doing what Jesus did? Is that what it means to remain in Jesus? And the answer is yes. It's actually all of those things, because to remain in Jesus is to be connected to the vine. It's to be in relationship with Jesus. It's not to be trying to do things all in our own strength, in our own ability. That's what it means to remain with Jesus. But to remain with Jesus is not just that, because Jesus is going to say that if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And so remaining in Jesus also looks like bearing fruit. It looks like obeying Jesus's commands. Remaining in Jesus looks like being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus and doing what Jesus did. It actually looks like something. One of the beautiful things about Christianity, I think, is that it's not a private religion. It's a public religion. What I mean by that is it's something that is visible. It's something that's seeable. When people are connected with the vine, it looks like something. And we can tell there's fruit. There's a life that's changed. People become different. And it's a journey. It's a becoming different. But it still looks like something. And I just think that's a beautiful thing. And so it's both being with Jesus and it is a becoming like Jesus and it is a doing what Jesus did. It's not one of those things, it's all of those things. That's what it means to remain. So in a moment, I'm going to read through our passage for this morning. And what I'd like us to do is, after I read through the passage, I'd like us to spend some time in twos or threes talking about these questions. Of one of the things that the biblical authors do is that they will repeat words or ideas or images again and again and again in order to get us to pay attention to what they want us to pay attention to. Not just what stands out to me, what I find interesting, but actually in this case, what Jesus wants us to pay attention to. Jesus is repeating some words, ideas, images in this passage that he wants your attention on. And so that's what I'd like us to talk about after I read the passage. So what words, ideas, and images are repeated? And if you get a chance, talk about why do you think they are repeated? What is it about these that Jesus wants us to pay attention to? Sound good? Sound like a plan? Cool. Excellent. I'm going to read through the passage and then give you a chance to chat. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine keeper. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he removes. And every branch bearing fruit, he prunes, so that it would bear much fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless in me you remain. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one remaining in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For apart from me, you are not able to do anything. If someone does not remain in me, he's thrown out like the branch and withers, and they gather the branches and they throw them and it burns. If you remain in me and my sayings remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will come to be for you. In this, my Father is glorified, so that you would bear much fruit and would prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may exist in you and your joy may be filled up. This is my command, that you would love one another just as I have loved you. A greater love than this no one has, that one would set down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer say you were slaves because the slave does not know what his Lord does, but I have said you were friends because everything I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not elect me, but I elected you and set you up so that you would go away and bear fruit, and your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he would give to you. These things I am commanding you so that you would love one another. There's a lot in there. So I invite you to turn to those around you and hopefully there's a Bible nearby and you can have a look at those that passage and what's repeated. Let's finish off those thoughts. We'll bring it back in. So there's a lot in there. A lot of repetition. A lot of things Jesus wants us to pay attention to, or maybe just a few things Jesus wants us to pay attention to, but he repeats them a lot. Yeah, I noticed a lot of repetition. I don't know if people can see this, but this is something I really recommend you do if you are wanting to study a particular passage in the Bible. What I'd like to do is drop the passage into like a word. I'm technological, so this works for me. You could use highlighters if it works better for you. But what I do is drop it into a Word document and then I just highlight all of the repetition I see. Sometimes if I'm running out of colours, I'll use different fonts and things like that to try and show the repetition too. But it's so enlightening. We get to really see what Jesus is wanting us to pay attention to. So for this passage, what are some of the things that you discussed in your groups of things that were repeated here? Yep, pruning, yeah. So in verse 2, we often see he prunes the branches that bear fruit, he prunes, and then in the next verse it says, you are already pruned. But a lot of times in our translation it says you're already clean. That's because the word for prune and the word for clean, it's the same word. You want to get nerdy about it, one's an adjective and one's a verb, but I don't need to go there, already did, but anyway. But it's the same word. Isn't that interesting? He prunes, he cleans those branches that bear fruit. That's a great one. What other repetition did we notice? Yeah, remain. Yeah, all through. Remain in me, the one who remains in me. If someone doesn't remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. It's all the way through. It's the one thing that tracks all the way through, I think. So yeah, bearing fruit. So this is an interesting one. We got bearing fruit all the way in the first half up until about verse 8. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. And then it doesn't really come up much again until verse 16. But what you do have in that second half is there's something else that's repeated, right? What's repeated more in verse 9 to 17? Love, yeah. So what is the fruit that we're to bear? You've got bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. What fruit, Jesus? And so he says, love, 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 love. And so we now, Jesus has given us a bit of a hint. Hey, the fruit that you are to bear is love. And it's loving one another, and it's loving the way that I have loved you. And so that's that, and we'll talk more about this a little later on, but yeah, so that's great. Yeah, anything else, any other repetition that we noticed that we wanted to put out there? Yeah, friends, not slaves, that's right. Yeah, and yeah, friends gets repeated heaps. And friends, that's a fun word as well, because in Greek, there's a few different words for love. The word for love in this passage is agape, but there's another word for love, phileo, and this the word for friends is philon. So it's the loved ones. It's also related to that love repetition is the friends. I love that. Like, oh, my loved ones. You guys are my loved ones. What a great way to think about your friends. So good. So, yeah, friends and not slaves. That's good. That's really good. Anything else before I move on that we noticed? Yes, yeah, someone does not remain in me. There's this whole thing about, being thrown out like the branch. And so because Jesus is that source of life, isn't he? So if a branch is not connected to its life source, it's thrown out. All right, well, there's a lot more that we could talk about, but I wanted to hone into what I feel like is, if I was to summarize this passage, it would be something like this, that Jesus is the true vine. If we remain in him, we will bear much fruit. And as we've talked about, that fruit is love. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to unpack this little statement and talk about, take it piece by piece and unpack what I think Jesus is wanting to say to us this morning through this. So the first one is that Jesus is the true vine. The vine is the life source. It's the branch cannot produce fruit from itself. We can't do anything from ourselves in our own strength, in our own ability. We need the life source. We need Jesus as the life source. It says that, the branch doesn't produce fruit. The branch only bears fruit. And that word bear is like, it's just the word to carry. We're just the carriers. We carry the fruit of love. Jesus is the one who produces that within us. He is our source of life. And so if I'm wanting to love others, if I'm wanting to love one another, what I need to be praying is, Jesus, how do you see this person? Give me your love for this person who I might be finding a bit annoying right now. Because Jesus' love is far deeper, far richer, far more powerful than anything that we can produce in our own strength. But Jesus is also the true vine. Notice that he is specific. He doesn't just say, I'm the vine. He does later on. But here he said, in verse 1, he says, I'm the true vine. If Jesus is the true vine, that means that there are false vines. There are places that we can go as our source of life, as our source of energy, which are, we can fool ourselves into believing that they're a source of life when really they're just a source of death. Or really they're just a limited source of life, you might want to say as well. And so sometimes it can be a relationship that is our life source, that we go to a friend or a partner for life and we rely on them to be our source of life, where Jesus is the true vine. That doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that Jesus is the true vine and they are not. That's all it means. And so, but it might be other things. It might be a career that that is your life source. It might be a dream that you have that's motivating you to keep going further. But what about when that career ends, or if that dream either comes about or doesn't come about? What is your source of life after that? Jesus needs to be our source of life. And I actually think that sometimes really good Christian things, we can sometimes replace them with Jesus himself. Sometimes worship songs can be we can place them as our life source. Or sometimes the Bible, we can place it as our life source. But Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. The scriptures, worship songs, all these good Christian things are a means to an end, and the end is Jesus. Jesus is our life source, and we can sometimes fool ourselves into believing that these good things are actually where we're getting our life from, when it's actually Jesus. And so we need to be aware of those false vines. And Jesus said, you are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Jesus, I believe what Jesus is talking about here is the word is his message, his teaching. The things that Jesus says that are like painfully loving. You know what I mean? Like Jesus sometimes says things of, you know, that thing that you did there, that was selfish. It's like, oh, that's so good, but it hurts. This is how life comes out. You know, if you prune a vine, it's able to bear more fruit. And so when Jesus says things to us that hurt, that are painful, but are true and are good for us, it's so, like, that is life-giving. That actually cutting back those things, pruning those things, cleaning us, this is what it looks like to have Jesus as the true vine. And so it's challenging, but it's good. So the other part of my statement there was remain in Jesus. I think it's really important that to notice that Jesus, he wouldn't be giving this command if it wasn't a temptation to leave. And in fact, we do know that the other disciples, they abandoned Jesus when he went to the cross. And so this is a temptation for us. This is the Christian life can be so difficult because Jesus is not physically present with us. And so remember what, and it can be difficult as well because Jesus is saying, I'm going away, I'm leaving, where I'm going, you cannot come with me. And then he's saying, remain in me. It's like, Jesus, what are you talking about? How do I do that? How can I remain in you if you're going somewhere which I cannot go to? And that's why Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit throughout these chapters. In the last chapter, in chapter 14, and we're going to hear it again next week in chapter 16, that Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the parakletos in Greek, the advocate, the word para means beside, and the word kletos, it comes from like to call, but to also to encourage, to also motivate or exhort people. So it's the one who stands beside us shouting encouragements. This is our strengthener. This is the one who we are able to remain, if we remain in the Holy Spirit, we're able to remain in Jesus. But also the Bible talks about the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, the body of the Messiah as the church. So remaining in community with the family of Jesus is also how we're able to remain in Jesus. Remaining in relationship with those people who can be quite frustrating, namely the family of Jesus, this is why Jesus talks about loving one another, because that's what it looks like to remain in Jesus, is to remain in that community. And so it is tempting. It is tempting to leave, and I think that you can choose to remain while still experiencing doubt. And this is a reality that I experience as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with experiencing doubt. I think where it's dangerous is when you think you're the only one. When you think that there's no one else who experiences this level of doubt. I mean, read the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is so beautiful because it is the prayer book of the Bible, and it is 2/3 of the Psalms are Psalms crying out to God of, where are you? What are you doing? I'm looking around the world and it is not the way that it should be. Things are not right. And God, why have you turned your face from me? The book of Psalms is filled with statements that would be heresy if it wasn't in the Bible. It is so important. So you can choose to remain while still experiencing doubt. And my
encouragement for you is that if you are wrestling with God at the moment, then open the book of Psalms and start reading until one hits you, until you feel it. And if it's like, because the Psalms give us words when we have no words. When we're at the highs of life and when we're at the lows of life, we are at a loss for words. And the Psalms give us those words. So read the Psalms until they say the words that you long to say but didn't have the words to say. And cry out to God. Allow, when it says I, allow that to be I, you know? It gives you, it's the Psalms is a kind of book that when you say it, it's happening, you know? And so that's something that I encourage you to do. And so, yeah, doubt, this is a big part of remaining, is choosing to remain even as you're experiencing doubt. And what that looks like practically, physically, what it looks like is obedience. Jesus says, you know, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And so what remaining looks like is looking like, I don't know, I don't really get this, God, but I'm going to do what you say. I really want to talk back at this person, or, you know, I really want to be greedy, or I really want to do this, I really want to do that, but I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm trusting you when you say, love your enemies. I'm trusting you when you say to not judge. I'm trusting you when you say to be generous towards the poor and the needy. I'm trusting you because remaining is another word which we can use that gets the concept of faith, of belief, of trust. Remaining is what it looks like to believe. So remain in Jesus. Last one is that you would bear, that you would bear much love, kind of combining those, that you'll bear much fruit, and that fruit is love. Remember that first half, bear fruit, and then love. This is what it looks like. So the fruit of remaining is loving, but it's not loving the way that we define love. See, I define love in a particular way. You define love in a particular way. The world defines love in its way as well. But Jesus is calling us to love the way that he has loved. This is the beautiful thing about Jesus. He's a new commandment I give you, that you would love as I have loved. So that he's giving us an example. This is what it looks like for a human, because Jesus, although he was God, he did not use his equality with God to his own advantage, but he emptied himself. So Jesus, as a human, he loved others. He gave us an example. This is what it looks like for a person, a human, to love other humans. And so when we want to look at what does it mean to love, what does it look like to love? We can look at the life of Jesus, see the way that he loved, see the way that he hung out with those oppressive, corrupt, horrible people. Like really, the people that Jesus hung out with, the, you know, tax collectors and sinners, is that means something. Like those people are listed for a reason, because these are the people who we might want to think don't deserve God's love, and we're probably right in saying that, and yet they received it. So Jesus loved in a particular way, and we're called to love like that. Jesus says, greater love, no one has a greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You and I may not find ourselves in a situation where we're literally doing that. Maybe we will. Like, I mean, I don't know. But most likely, we're not in a situation where we're actually laying down our lives for our friends in terms of dying like Jesus died. But it's still true that we can lay down our lives, that self-sacrifice is Jesus's way of loving. That love looks like self-sacrifice. Love looks like me not getting my way. When I want things to go a certain way, it's looking like being willing to not get my way. I think that as Christians, we should be the ones who are the most willing to take the hit in a relationship, to take the hit for the sake of someone else. And this doesn't mean that we're a doormat and we just allow people to walk all over us, because sometimes what people want is not what's good for them. So sometimes taking a hit looks like having a difficult conversation with a person and saying, hey, actually, I don't think that you should have spoken to that person this way or whatever. And we're taking a hit because we're risking the relationship. But we need to be willing to have difficult conversations. We need to be willing to allow people to get what they want if it's good for them, when it means that we don't get what we want. We need to be willing to swallow our pride and be self-sacrificial in that way. That's hard. And this is why it's not our love. This is why it's not me trying to muster it up. Oh, I guess that person has nice hair today or something like that. It's actually being like, no, I'm not, this is not my opinion. This is God's opinion. And hopefully my thoughts and feelings and opinions are being shaped over time by God's, but He is the one who is the life source, not me. And it's this love that will remain. It's this love that is going to last. In the end, in verse 16, it says, your fruit would remain. The fruit of love, you know, this is what we're reminded about in 1 Corinthians 13, that love is what remains. Love is, you know, faith, hope, and love are what going to remain, and love is actually the greatest. That's a whole other rabbit trail which I'm walking around. I believe this is the heart of what Jesus is saying in this chapter in John 15. And it's beautiful, it's simple, and it's so deep and so profound. It's simple on one level of being like, I know all of these words, but what does it look like for me to live this out is a whole other thing. So I want us to take a moment now. With all of that in mind, in light of all of that, I want us to turn to Jesus. And I want us to take a moment to ask Jesus, because this, don't want this to be theory. Jesus, what does it look like for me to remain in you this week? So earlier I was talking about how it can be being with Jesus. Sometimes it's doing what Jesus did. For some of us, maybe we, you know, really, we're all good with the being with Jesus thing, that we love to spend that personal worship time with Jesus. We love to have one-on-one time, private time with Jesus, but we need to be reminded that it actually looks like something. It actually looks like doing something and not just spending time, but actually bearing fruit too. Doing Jesus' commands is being with Jesus as well. And then doing what Jesus did, maybe some of us, maybe that's where you're comfortable. Activity, service, helping others, being generous, being loving, do, keep going, don't stop because then I might feel something. And maybe you just need to stop and take a breath and be with Jesus and to actually slow down. So wherever you are on that scale, let's give Jesus permission right now to speak to us, to challenge us, to remind us or make us aware of what it means to remain in Him this week. I'm going to take a moment of silence now so we can hear what Jesus is saying. Thank you. and the feeling that to end, Jesus would like me just to read over this passage again to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine keeper. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he removes. And every branch bearing fruit, he prunes, so that it would bear much fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch is not able to bear fruit from itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless in me you remain. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one remaining in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For apart from me, you're not able to do anything. If someone does not remain in me, he's thrown out like the branch and withers. They gather the branches and they throw them and it burns. If you remain in me and my sayings remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will come to be for you. In this, my Father is glorified, so that you would bear much fruit and would prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may exist in you and your joy may be filled up. This is my command, that you would love one another just as I have loved you. A greater love than this, no one has. That one would set down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer say you are slaves because the slave does not know what his lord does, but I have said you are friends because everything which I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not elect me, but I elected you and set you up so that you would go away and bear fruit and your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he would give to you. These things I'm commanding to you so that you would love one another. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the vine. You are our life source. It is your love that we are tapping into. May you help us. The most powerful prayer, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help us as we remain in you and obey your commands. Amen.